Hi, it's Phil Hewlett. I want to introduce you to Aquasana. You know who that is? It's a company I love. They make home water filtration systems that make drinking water from the tap absolutely delicious. Their Rhino water filtration system removes 97% of chlorine from your tap water, and that's important because that chlorine evaporates from the shower stream and then it permeates the air in your home, and then you're breathing it, your kids are breathing it. You don't want to walk into a cloud of chlorine, trust me. The filtration system also removes all the heavy metals, the herbicides, pesticides, industrial solvents, and more from the water. Your family deserves better, right? For better tasting, better cooking, safe water. And Aquasana will give you a 40% discount and free shipping on a complete system because you're listening to my voice. There's one system. It's a $1 million gallon Rhino whole house filtration system. Usually sells for $1,600. It's yours for just $978.99. If you go to the sponsor page of PhilHewlettAndFriends.com, click on the Aquasana button and you're in. Aquasana. Live healthy. Let's talk about walking away alive from work or school or wherever when some mentally deranged person with a gun starts shooting at people. Joining us is New York Times, Amazon best-selling author of several books, including The Survival Medicine Handbook, The Essential Guide for When Help is Not on the Way. The book, by the way, is available in the store on our website. Go get it. Disaster preparedness expert Dr. Joe Alton, also known as Dr. Bones from the Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy YouTube channel. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hi, Bill. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm well, even better now that you're here. May I call you Dr. Bones?
You can if you want, sure.
Okay. You're not going to feel uncomfortable or anything like that. I don't want this interview to be awkward.
No, that's what people in the survival community know me as.
Dr. Bones. All right. Define active shooter for us, sir.
Well, an active shooter is a gunman who specifically plans to get the most casualties and the most damage done in a single event, which causes terror among different populations, or which achieves, depending on whether they're an ideological terrorist or whether they're a disgruntled employee, or their place of business, or a particular group of people.
Now, I gather you have just a few options. If this happens to you, wherever you can get the hell out of there, run for your life, or you can hide and hope for the best, or God forbid you come face-to-face with this lunatic. Are there any other options, or are those three basically your deal?
Those three are what the Department of Homeland Security recommends, and they recommend them in this order. Run, hide, fight. Phil, you probably have heard of stop, drop, and roll, right?
Yeah, sure.
Sure, to save the life of someone on fire. Well, run, hide, and fight might save the life of somebody that's under fire, and this is the order of the actions that you should be taking. Unfortunately, that's not what people do. What usually happens is that 50 people around you will drop to the floor, usually in plain view of the shooter, and that is a recipe for a very bad outcome. And unfortunately, you probably will do the same when you see all these other people do it. But that doesn't make sense. Instead, run away from the direction of gunfire. As soon as you hear it, don't assume that it's firecrackers or somebody's tire blowing out. Assume that it's the worst and just run out of there. Now, if you stay where you are and you do what most people do, you'll be 2 feet away from the gunman, and that is pretty easy to wind up being dead as a result. If you are running, you're 10 feet, 20 feet, 30 feet, and counting away from in terms of distance away from the gunman, and you want to know something, most of the time these are not professional snipers, and the more distance you have from them, the less likely they're going to be able to hit you.
Should you just turn tail and just run for the horizon, or should you run like a running back at a football game and weave in and out?
Well, if you can think of weaving in and out, that actually would make it more difficult. A lot of people really don't have the presence of mind to actually have that strategy in mind, but if you can do it, I think that would be great. Now, the important thing to do is always be situationally aware. And whenever you're in a place where there is a crowd of people, I want you to make mental note of where the nearest exits are.
Yeah.
So if you know where the nearest exits are, you'll know where to run. That's going to be the most important thing. And by the way, when you do run, you may run into law enforcement that might have been called onto the scene. If you do, don't run up and hug them.
Yeah.
For goodness sake. Get your hands in the air, spread your fingers out where officers can see them.
They don't know who you are.
Right. They need to know you're not the threat.
Don't get shot by the police when you're trying to avoid the active shooter. Well, now, further to the conversation about preparation and knowing your surroundings and all of that. Let's say you're in a classroom or an office with one, maybe two ways in and out, and you need to take cover and prepare in the event the shooter comes looking for you. What are the steps?
Well, first run if you can. If you can't, or let's assume that you can't run. Let's say there's one exit, the shooter standing in front of it, then you might not have that as an option. Your next choice is going to be hiding. Mm-hmm. Now, the main thing is to get out of the shooter's line of sight. Unfortunately, for some people, they think that hiding in a table, under a table rather, in the same room as the shooter is getting out of the line of sight, and that is another very, very bad idea. The bottom line is if there's a door to get into any other room where you're not in the shooter's line of sight, that's really what you need to do.
Now, let's say the shooter's in the lobby, and you know the shooter's in the lobby, and you know that there's no getting out of your office. Do you barricade yourself in there? What do you do?
Yeah, push those desks, those chairs, push the copying machine, for goodness sake, right against the door. If there's a lock, of course, lock it. If there's not a lock, then that barrier will be good. Turn off the lights.
Yeah.
That's going to be very important. Stay silent. Silence your cell phone. And if there's an additional barrier, get behind that.
Yeah.
Now, if you can quietly call 911, do so. But if you think that just the sound of your voice is going to alert the shooter, what you need to do is just, you can call 911 and just don't answer.
Okay? Now, all right. Now, let's say despite all of your preparation, and there wasn't a lot that you could stack up against the door, but you did your best. What if the shooter still gets into your space? He has a gun. You have a stapler.
Well, you know what? Guess what? You're armed. That's the amazing thing. In Orlando, they say that everybody was essentially unarmed. But the truth of the matter is that's not the case. There were bar glasses, I'm sure. I bet there were bottles around. Every single one of those 300 people had a cell phone, most likely. And I'll tell you, if they had thought of using those to their advantage, they might have gotten out of it. I mean, a lot of people in your audience might say, oh, well, that strategy, that's doomed to failure. But you want to know something? It really isn't. It might be able to drop an attacker, even if you're unarmed. Remember that three young unarmed men were able to drop a shooter in a train in Paris a few months ago, mm-hmm. or last year sometime. And it did save a lot of people's lives. So you may actually have to fight your way out of there.
And if you're with a group of people in your little space there, is it a good idea to kind of rally them emotionally and get as many people as you can on board with the plan to take the guy by surprise?
That's a good idea, Phil, because any type of aggression is going to disrupt the flow of the government. This guy is focused. He wants as many casualties as fast as possible. And if you can get more people to help you, that's going to be great. What they need to do, though, is they need to charge from different directions. Don't charge in one wall. Charge from different directions at once while they're hurling their cell phones, hurling that stapler you mentioned.
Yeah.
And this guy isn't James Bond. He's going to duck. He's going to flinch. And he's not going to be able to get all of you. If that had happened at the Pulse Orlando nightclub, then there would not have been 49 dead.
Yeah, yeah, right. Now, of course, the nightclub's a big open area, and if he just starts spraying while everybody's looking in one direction and he's in the back, there's not often a lot you can do. And it comes to mind, let's say you're in a big open shopping mall, or you're back at work, and you know the guy's in the lobby, and you're in one of those big glass bullpens full of cubicles, and there's not a lot you can do other than get behind that desk or charge forward as a group to the lobby and try to take the guy down. There will be casualties if that happens. But do you have some thoughts about kind of the open space concept when something happens? What's the plan there?
Well, you're talking more about a closed space that happens to be visible to the shooter.
Right.
Now, if you were in a truly open space, if I was at the mall, there's probably a lot of places that I can run. First off, there are going to be exits. I'll be able to run out and evacuate from there. But let's say you're stuck in a with glass walls so that the shooter will be able to see you easily. Then you need to just get out of the line of sight. In other words, this guy has a very short time to do his damage. I know that in the nightclub, he was there for 3 hours, but most of these events are over in a few minutes, and this guy is going to look for the easiest targets. If you're hidden, if you have a barricade against the door where that, even if it's a glass door, if there's a barricade there, that it's going to be more difficult and it's going to take more time. More time that he has to take to get to a victim is the less total victims he has. And he wants a lot of victims.
Yeah. All right. Now, what should people do today to prepare in the event something happens sometime in the future in their lives?
Well, I think that it's very important for them to just start thinking about it. I was just on a show where they were able to poll their listeners, and 78% of them aren't going to change a darn thing.
Wow.
Because they are, in my opinion, in denial. But the success, and I'm going to put that in quotes, of this gunman in Orlando is now going to be the blueprint for future future terror events.
Mm-hmm.
A single gunman was able to knock out more than 100 people.
Yeah.
That is, for somebody of like mind with this guy, that is an incredible encouragement that you could really do some damage if you plan things out.
Yep. All right. Dr. Bones, who is also Dr. Joe Alton, it's been a pleasure talking with you on Twitter. He's at Prepper Show, and the website, doomandbloom.net. Go check them out. So much. It's just a carnival ride of information. There's so much stuff on your website. I spent about a half an hour, and I don't think I cracked the surface. So
we have over 800 articles on.
How about that? Well, thank you, sir, for being on the program. I think you've been a great help, and we appreciate the time you spent.
Thanks for having me, Phil.
All right, you're welcome. The fact is that if you run a business, you need to have a reliable, trustworthy, scalable internet hosting company, a business hosting company, and Lunar Pages is the one I recommend. I've been working with them for now 10 years or so. Large or small, whatever your business is, you need the best. They have cloud computing, storage, dedicated IP, SSL certificates to secure your site's transactions, Secure Live, their patented website hack protection service that continually monitors your server and stops the hackers before they get inside. They have all the scripts and the languages that your IT professionals require. And their support team, Lunar Pages' support team, is right here in the USA, in many cases in the same area code as you. Look for their button on our sponsors page at our website and click on it. You'll receive deep discounts exclusive to our listeners, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Lunar Pages. Go check them out. All right, Dale, you know what an emoji is, don't you?
I do.
You
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I am impressed. just about 75% of Americans use an average of 96 emojis every day. In their texts, social media, and emails. Now, we are among the 25% who don't do that, but 75%.
Oh my gosh.
Now, why do we use them? Why do they? What do they say about you? And are they here to stay, or should we do everything in our power to make them go away? Communication expert Leslie Shore will explain the pros and cons of emoji use in personal and professional communications. She's coming up in segment number 3 of our program. Well, we're in segment 2 right now, and we still have a ton to talk about. And Dale, we are getting pretty close to crowning the NBA champion. Game 6 went down last night, almost in a predictable fashion, because they're going to get to Game 7. Where exactly are things, and what are your thoughts about the Golden State and Cleveland matchup?
Well, this is great news for the NBA and, of course, the affiliate, ABC, who's showing the games.
Yeah. Big ratings?
Oh, absolutely, because this series is a rematch from last year.
Yeah.
And when we talked earlier, I said this series would go 6 games at least,
yeah.
if not 7.
Mm-hmm.
6 if Cleveland was going to win, 7 Golden State.
Yeah.
Because Golden State has the home court advantage. Game 7 will be in Golden State.
Yeah.
So it's been a tremendous series, and despite the fact that Cleveland could be the first team in history to be down 3-1
mm-hmm.
and come back and win an NBA Finals.
Yeah. In my opinion, that's what's going to happen. Because
you think Cleveland's going to win this game?
Yeah, I do, because
really?
I've watched, and I haven't watched much basketball, honestly, for 2 or 3 years, maybe 4 years. And I got to say, I was shocked at just how bad the play is and how boring the game was. And you know how it is when you don't see somebody for like 4 or 5 years and all of a sudden you notice everything has changed about them, but all the people that are around them every day don't notice the changes?
Right.
I think that's what's happened with basketball fans. And if they took a break like I did for 3 years and came back and watched the game, they would say, what the heck? This is just terrible play.
Well, it's changed a lot. And we talked about the three-point shooting. Should they move the three-point shooting line?
Oh, look what's happened to Golden State. The reason they've lost the last two games is because of the three-point shot.
Well, they either live by it or they die by it.
Yeah.
And depending on, you know, how they are shooting, that determines really the outcome for them, because their team is designed around the three-point shot. They have three-point shooters.
Yeah, and if you've got a history of shooting 30 to 35, maybe 40% on a good day from the three-point line, and you have an 18% day, you're going to lose the game.
Right, right.
And that's what's happening.
And I think it's hard for them to make the adjustments, because here's a team that won 73 games. They set an all-time NBA record.
Yeah.
So this is their mojo. This is what they're going to do.
Why not shoot 50 to 90 percentile shots all night long, and you'll end up winning the game by 40 points?
Because their thought process, you only get 2 points for that. Well, we can shoot for three. We'll give you the two. We'll come down and shoot three.
Yeah.
You know, so
game five, they had 14 minutes, and they missed 18 three-pointers in 14 minutes. Now, in 14 minutes with a 24-second clock, you have how many opportunities to score 2 points? About 20 opportunities, probably, at a minimum. And so out of those 20, if you score a high percentage two-pointer and maybe get fouled and turn it into a three-point play, you've got 40 to 45 points that you scored in 18 minutes, as opposed to not scoring anything because you come down and shoot a three-pointer and miss it every time. I was screaming at the TV. This is terrible.
Well, you know what's interesting is that the game plan for Golden State is not going to change now because their center, their big man, Andrew Bogut, he is out.
Yeah.
So they're going to stay with small ball.
Mm-hmm.
And small ball means shooting the rock from the three.
Yeah.
That's their game plan.
That's why I'm giving it to Charlotte, because they're actually moving the ball around a little more. And of course, their big guy, King James, he doesn't have any fear about driving into the paint and taking a high percentage shot.
Well, you know, his last two games have been tremendous. He scored 41 points the last two consecutive games.
Yeah.
He's the first player to do that since Shaquille O'Neal with the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
It's been 16 years.
Yeah. All right, well, then the fans are kind of weird, too. Has Kevin Love been playing?
You know, his playing time has been limited. It was limited yesterday because he got into foul trouble early.
Yeah.
But it was interesting because a fan in Cleveland started a webpage to raise money to give to Kevin Love for him to sit out game six, which is a moot point now because they won.
Yeah.
But because his play has been substandard, the fans feel like they're better off without Kevin Love. Now, here's a guy that's a perennial all-star, came from Minnesota. His last season in Minnesota, he scored 26 points a game, 12.5 rebounds, and 4.5 assists.
Yeah.
This guy's a tremendous player.
Mm-hmm.
But it just goes to show you, he went from the big fish to a small fish because he's like the third option for Cleveland now.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show you that chemistry and your schematic is really important in gelling with your new team.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say this one's going seven, and Charlotte's going to win. How about you, Skyler? Who do you pick in seven?
Same, Charlotte.
Okay, good. No, not Charlotte. Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Cleveland. Charlotte's not going to win. Cleveland is. Yeah.
Oh, Cleveland.
Cleveland.
I'm going to say Golden State double digits.
Ooh, wow. All right. To emoji or not to emoji? That is the question communications expert Leslie Shore will answer coming up in just a few moments. Can you imagine if we replaced Shakespearean English with emojis? What would that say about our civilization? Maybe I'll ask Leslie that question. Coming up in the next segment of Phil Hewlett and Friends. I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.